And that has to do with our recent election. How many feel affected by the recent election? Okay. You may have won, you may not have won. I'm going to get into all of that. I found this little poem. It says, "He answered prayer, not in the way I sought, not in the way that I thought he ought, but in his own good way, and I could see he answered in the fashion best for me." How many of you believe God is alive and well, seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, where he is in control of all things, sees all things? How many of you think he's threatened by any human institution, any human endeavor, any human army, any nuclear missile, any cyber attack, any of that stuff, or by jihadism, or any of the things that we see? How many of you think God is even has a twitch of nervousness? This is our God. 1 Chronicles 29:15, and it's amazing. Mike and I did not collaborate. Can you bring that up? I didn't know he was going to say that at the offering. But this is David at the end of his life. And David had amassed a fortune. It was a Warren Buffett-type fortune, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates fortune. Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, and the Sheik fortune. He had so much money that when he gave it all for the temple for Solomon, and it says that in the days of Solomon, silver was like stones. And he was so wealthy, and this is David's closing words in terms of wealth and property. Like, you know the story of David from the little boy, the lion and the bear, and he killed Goliath, and then he was a fugitive from Saul. Eventually he became king, and later he fell Bathsheba and lost the kingdom and came back, and then eventually there was a coup d'etat. I mean, he had a life of tumult that was very, very difficult. His oldest son raped his sister, and the next son killed that son for doing that. Another son, the one that killed, went into exile, Absalom, and when he came back, he finally said, "Come back." But it wasn't a prodigal son thing where he came back in penitence. He came back and he stole the hearts of the people from the kingdom. He was an extraordinarily handsome man, it says in the scripture, and he would stand by the gates and where they did all the judgments over business and commerce or whatever, and he'd say things real subtly like, "You know, if I was handling this, I wouldn't have done it that way. I don't think, you know, this is, I don't know, I'm just telling you." So what he did is he stole the hearts because it made it look like David was not a good king. And then after that, another son, Absalom, ends up being involved in the most dishonorable way, gets involved with his father's concubine, steals the kingdom, and eventually he gets caught. He had long, really long hair. He was known for it. He was riding his donkey through the forest, and it grabbed the tree, and he was hanging between heaven and earth, and David had told the soldiers, "Whatever you do, don't." He loved Absalom, even though Absalom was a bad person. He says, "Don't harm him." And Joab went up and thrust him and killed him. So he wept over his son Absalom, even though Absalom was a terrible son. And then later, Adonijah tries to steal the kingdom with his nephew Joab. I mean, this guy, this person with a heart after God, saw the worst of humanity throughout his life in so many ways. If you read the Psalms, you'll see, "I do good and I get bad. I do this and I do that." People whisper. They're going through this whole thing. But this is the last part of his life. And he focuses. Let's go back to 14 first. He says this. In Chronicles, he's not going to be around long. He's already blessed his son Solomon. and left him wealth beyond measure. And he's told Solomon to be wise. The wealth wasn't just for Solomon, it was for God and God's purpose. But he says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you. Man, that's a powerful statement. Yeah, but didn't you get up in the morning and work? Don't you have the nasty boss? Don't you have, didn't you go to school and get trained in this and all this? All things, your training, your education, it all came from your looks today, your height, your IQ, your temperament, your bad experiences, your good experiences, they all come from him. He's in the middle of it all. I mean, I'm saying all. Too often, all of us put him asleep on the cushion and think, doesn't he care? In the middle of a storm, doesn't he care? Yes, he cares. He cares. You should be able to offer as generously as this, for all things come from you, and from your hand, from your hand we have given you. So everything I have and you have comes from him. Now all you get to do, this is the only thing you can do. What are you going to give God that God needs? Your money? The church might need the money. The mission group might need the money. But does God need the money? He doesn't. So what are we going to give to him? I mean, what do I have to give to God? The only thing I can give is me. That's it. And then giving me, he says, okay, I love you as you are, but I'm going to change you around a little bit to make you a little more palatable to a lost and dying world. You've got some rough edges, and since I'm your Father who art in heaven, and since I am your Father, I can discipline you, and I'm going to try to change that short fuse you have, and I'm going to try to change that pouty attitude. I'm going to try to change your judgmentalness. I'm going to try to make you patient by giving you so many things that make you impatient, that patience will finally be your gift. I'm going to teach you to love by putting people around you that are hard to love. I am not going to raise you and spoil you and put the wind at your back so that everything goes the way you want it and how you want it, when you want it. Because I am God, I know all things, I see all things, and I'm at work in your life. And you would not grow without the conflict within your soul of whatever you're dealing with right now. I love you too much to give you ice cream all the time. I'm going to give you broccoli. Uncooked broccoli. I know some of you, raise your hand if you like broccoli. There's a few out there. Yeah, okay. I was a bad child. I didn't like broccoli. Okay, next verse. For we are sojourners before you and tenants. Okay, I would like us all, okay, I know everybody here owns things. You own your car, some of you. Some of you are dreaming of the day that you own your car. Some of you own your house. There may be somebody in this room, yea, verily, I say unto you, has actually paid off the mortgage. Most of us that own our house don't own the house, but we feel like we own it. Because we're making payments on it. But you are a tenant. You're leasing. I am leasing my space here. I am not a permanent fixture. The grass fades, the wind blows, grass fades, the flower fades, the word of God endures forever. We are here, according to the Psalms, 70, or if by due strength, 80 years. And so we are sojourners and tenants, and all our fathers were, our days on earth are like a shadow. Now what does this mean? There is no hope. What a bummer word. I think I don't think you'd want him for your pastor. I want to be encouraged. I don't want to come to church to have somebody tell me all the bad stuff. I want somebody to tell me the good stuff. Well, there is no hope outside of he who knows all things. He upholds all things by the power of his hand. The world is spinning an untethered globe is going around the sun as we speak today. There is no landline to planet Earth. It's out just 25,000 miles an hour going around the sun, exactly 93 million miles from the sun. And so you had sunrise today. You just expect sunrise, sunset. He controls all things, everything. And this world is messed up because in the beginning it was all good. And we sinned. And he said the price of that sin is death. And death, you know, this is another bummer statement. The moment we're born, we start to die. Every cute little baby is born with starting to die. We grow up first, and then we fade out. But in the history of the planet, one out of one dies, except the one who knew no death, who knew death but rose from the dead. Several weeks ago, I talked about the good fight. It's a commendable and excellent fight. It's honorable. It's worthy. And that's what good means. And fight means agon or agonia. It's a conflict and it's a struggle. If we could pull up Jeremiah 12, 5. I ran across this scripture many years ago and it's always stuck with me. If you have run with footmen and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? How many here want to compete with horses? Do you know that God may call you to compete with horses? He's saying, if you've just lived your life and you're exhausted right now and you're all beat to Hades because of an election or you don't think things are going the right way, he says, how are you going to run with horses? Well, I don't want to run with horses. It doesn't matter what you want. I know all things. I put you in my church. There'll be no end to the increase of my government or of my peace. I'm at work. If you fall down in the land of peace, how will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? This is my 12th election that I voted for. My first election was Nixon, then there was Ford, Carter, Reagan, Bush 41, Clinton, Bush, Obama, 5 Republicans, 3 Democrats. I was a believer for each of those elections. And each election brought with me a human side, brought me both hope and sadness. But in the midst of every election, I won. And all who call on the name of Jesus won. If your candidate won, your victory only means something if you're in the Lord. Because no matter who's our president in this country, I can still love. We can still love. Tell me. You know, I read sometimes about the churches that are growing. You know, how many of you like having the missionaries come in and give a report and you listen to it there in South Africa or Nigeria or India? What John talked about, you could see the conditions last week about how difficult they are. Kenya, you know, Sam's very involved in Kenya and there's crime and difficulty. And the governments are corrupt. Yet they say now that the church in China has more Christians than the church in the United States. It's mostly underground. In other words, you can have a communist dictatorship and there'll be no end to the increase of his government or his peace. In other words, you can have brutal, murderous things happen in Nigeria and Sudan and Syria and all the places on the globe, and yet they can't stop Christians from loving. They can't stop Christians from praying. And they can't stop Christians from serving. So no matter what happens in all this, my hope this morning is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. What does that mean? I'm not going to trust in myself or yourself, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Let's go to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is, the kids learn this in Sunday school. You all know it. But as I was preparing, I have to tell you, what happened in the election really drove me to my knees. People have been asking me questions like, what's God saying, and all these other things. And the only thing I get is trust. Somebody said judgment. Why is judgment always out there? But I said, a lot of times with judgment, we don't turn and say, judge me, judge them, judge our nation. But how about start with Kevin? Where am I? And for those that voted differently, this is not about candidates. It's about expectations and trust in God. So I'm not getting it. I'm really apolitical this morning. So don't hear anything about that. I have my opinions, but I'm not up here to give you my opinions. I'm up here to share the goodness of God in the land of the living. So Proverbs 3:5 says, so you will have, beginning in 4, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Oh man, I hate that word all. I hate the word all, because all my heart, that means with everything. And that means what we read, he's in charge of all things. He's an all God, not a some God. Trust with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. Okay, let's just start repenting right now. Come on. Are you that smart? That you'd lean on your own understanding, that you know more than God, that you have it figured out better than God, that God's God, but he's just not that bright. He doesn't get practical things like I do. I've been around the block a few times, baby. I know what's going on with people. You don't know what my life was like. Don't lean on it. I was tempted to do it, so I'll do it. Lean on me. When you are weary. That's the song, Lean on Me. Well, here's the thing. God wired us to, Gary, that was an audition for your band. I hope. The leaning, we have songs like Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Now, I'm a pastor, okay, so people lean on me at times. And that's what he gave people to do that. A parent is to be leaned on, a spouse, friends. So it's not, please don't hear this in black and white. But what I'm saying, I don't care how much you lean on me. I don't care how good I am. I won't get it done ultimately the way God does. And so we lean on each other and we're encouraged by each other. And the worst of it is, lean not on me, Kevin, leaning on ourselves. He says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. I believe that lead us not into temptation. Many of us think, well, that's lust, sex, drugs, rock and roll, gambling, lying, cheating. It's all those, it can be those things, but lead me not into relying on myself. Lead me not into self-reliance. Lead me not into being arrogant. Lead me not into thinking that I invented this planet, that the world started when I got here. This is the polar star for each one of us, in his promises, in his grace. I stand here this morning, and for any of you that have bowed the knee to him, you're friends of God. He's your counselor, my counselor, and comforter. I'm not only friendly with God, he's my friend. I know that may sound boastful, but I'm telling you the truth. What a friend I have in Jesus. He's our friend. Hey, my friend. Oftentimes I tell him he's welcome to come to the service this morning. Oftentimes in service, I look as, are you here, Lord? I don't want to have church without you being here. He knows my name. He loves me in spite of myself. regardless of how unloving or strained I've been. I'm always amazed when you see a loving parent with a renegade child. I mean, most often, that parent never gives up. I've rarely seen a parent give up on a child, a Christian parent. It's just amazing the love that will go out for a child who is going astray. And it's not even approaches. It doesn't. What we do as human beings doesn't even come close to what God Himself is doing. He may use other people as part of His redemptive work, and He does, but God Himself is at work in your life today. As we proceed forward, trust is a huge issue to me when it comes to God. Our confidence determines our state. Proverbs 28:26 says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool." You know, and Corinthians says that it wasn't through the wisdom of man that they came to know God. It was through the foolishness of God and the message. He was well pleased. God is not impressed with our intellect. God is not impressed with our books. He's not impressed that we are so smart that we've discovered things that He made. He made us to enjoy His creation and loves us and cares. But this is to be an entire trust. It is to be an exclusive trust. Again, God says, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit or respect to your husband as to the Lord. It's always as to the Lord. It says, masters, treat your workers or bosses in an understanding way, as you will give an account yourself. And workers, work not just with eye service how your boss sees you, but as unto the Lord. It's always what's behind, what the motive behind you. It says He weighs the motives. Trust broken is a painful and extraordinarily excruciating thing. There's not a person in this room this morning that has not had trust broken at some level. And you know how hard that is and how God helps you and brings you through. If you haven't had trust broken, then let me say you probably broke trust. It's one or the other. It's either or both. But we've all been injured. But not so with Jesus. He's good and good all the time. He's faithful when we are faithless. He's our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, I meet Christians who don't think that they could do the sins of other people. You ever met anybody like that? I could never do that. How do you know? Are you that good? One of our esteemed national leaders, 4-star general. How did that happen? Where are any of us above? I mean, what about Eve in the state of goodness? How could she do that and eat the forbidden fruit? What about Peter, who said, "I'll tell you what, everybody else will deny you, but I will not. I am a faithful person. I will not deny you. Semper Fi. I will never leave." I'll tell you what, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. No way. What about David, the man after God's heart? Not only had everything he wanted, but he went after Bathsheba. And after that, to cover it, he has her husband killed. Gets him drunk at the doorstep so it'll look like he went to the house and got her pregnant. Gets her drunk. And then after he gets him killed, brings her into his family as a loving cover of an old dear friend that he murdered. He got away with it, by the way, until a guy named Nathan was stirred in his sleep and went to him and tells David about a terrible situation. And David gets really angry because we tend to put our sins away. Well, that's done. David gets really angry that person did that. And he said, David says to Nathan when he's describing this bad situation of someone taking another lamb and all this. I won't go into the whole prophecy, but David says, that man should die. And Nathan just looks at David and says, thou art the man. And I couldn't write Psalm 23. I couldn't write Psalm 51. I couldn't sing like he did. I could take Goliath out, what he suffered. His men risked his life to give him a drink of water, and he wouldn't drink it because they had risked their life. He had an integrity and a depth and a love for God that was incredible. And yet, bam! We should never be cocky about any of it. And no, that God's at work. Now, you probably say, what the heck does this have to do with elections? You figure it out. Psalm 118. Well, first of all, I want to read two psalms. One of them I want to give credit to Kenny Luck, who is a friend of Paul's, and Dale's, and Mike Spinello. He did a little blog, and it was about the elections. And this is what I want to say in Psalm 146, verse 3. It just stirred me to this scripture. It says, do not trust in princes. Okay, what the heck does that mean? Does that mean we don't like Prince Charles? What is it? Don't trust in princes. In mortal man. Don't trust in mortal man. What does that mean? In whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. How blessed is those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not. There's often a case for princes that I don't trust in a prince, but I don't think he even says here, do not trust in bad princes. Or no, but you can trust in good princes. You can trust in Ronald Reagan. Or you can trust in this. You can trust in Bill Clinton. Or you can trust in Harry Truman. You can trust whoever, these presidents that we've had, John Kennedy, whoever. He's not saying that. He's not saying, don't trust in them. Your trust is so much deeper. So much farther, so much richer. You have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You don't trust them. You don't have to trust them. You honor them. You respect for them. You pray for them. But they're mortal men. They put their pants on in the morning. They get indigestion. They're just like you. They just got a big job. And God's at work, both to will and to work for his good pleasure in our nation. Psalm 140, 118, I want to read this one too because I'm going to get a little more in depth with this trusting part. Beginning in verse 5 of Psalm 118. From my distress I called to the Lord. Now I did that after this election. And for those of you that were celebrating, God bless you. Honestly, God bless you. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. I'm talking about big things here. I'm talking about there'll be no end to the increase of his government. I'm talking about we serve a kingdom that everything else that can be shaken will be shaken. This cannot be shaken. I'm talking about eternity in our hearts. I'm talking about pressing on towards the upward mark. I'm talking about the fact that we have brothers and sisters that can be tortured and sawn in two, as it says in Hebrews, and not bow the knee. I'm talking about a church triumphant that the gates of hell will not prevail against. From my distress, I called unto the Lord. Set me in a large place. The Lord is for me. Give me that back one time. Really? He is. I will not fear. What can man do to me? O death, where is your sting? I'm a redeemed sinner. I have eternal life. You have eternal life. Now, I know in the very present, the practical, pragmatic things count and matter in different ways. But what can man do to me? For the Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better. Would you say this to me with me? It is better. Okay. We go out to dinner. This is better. Someone offers something. This is better. Well, I'm going to go to this. I'm going to do this. This is better. Oh, you're going to go there? This is a better place. This is better. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than what? Wow. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than what? And what's the next part? To trust in princes. Okay, princes are our leaders, our government leaders. And I want to say that there's a couple, and just in closing, and I don't know if I'm closing or not, but I'll just dive. Where's John? I got Shakespeare for you. You ready? Oh, how wretched is that man that hangs on prince's favor. There is betwixt that smile we would aspire to, that sweet aspect of princes and their truth, more pangs and fears than wars and women have. And when he falls like Lucifer, never to hope again. Do you know which one that is? He's talking about the humanity of the princes that seem to have all the authority and power. The humanity of them, that they too will stand at the bar. Every human being will stand at the bar. Every person will stand and say, you did what with your life? Put not your trust in princes. Now, what I was going to say is I meet Christians that don't trust anybody in a bad way. You meet them, and they go, I just trust Jesus. Well, actually, I don't trust them because they're not real. They're so subjective, and I find that they're trusting Jesus. Sometimes it's always to their benefit. In financial things, they say, I'm just following the Lord. Someone one time had cheated when I was in business, and I said, this is not right. And he said, hey, it's just business. I said, no, it's not. This is life. Are you a man of integrity or not? Hey, it's just business. It's not just business. It's not just school. It's not just anything. It's all. Who are we? Salt and light in every place we do. And when I hear, what I'm trying to say is, I read an excerpt from Calvin when he said, everybody affirms this statement, it's better, and trust the Lord. He says, but he can't find 1 in 100 men that does. Everybody mentally assents to that. But where the trust comes is where the rubber meets the road now, both in our broad national situation and in your life. Just as we do not know the path of the wind and how bones are formed in the womb of a pregnant woman, so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things. That was David's son, Solomon, who happened to be the son of Bathsheba. That's not right. Bathsheba's kid should not have been the king. Jacob should not have been chosen after he lied to his father like that. Abraham sold Sarah down the river because he told her, don't tell him I'm your brother when he got to the king's, because otherwise they might kill me. Peter said, I'll never deny you, and he does. I mean, I could go on and on. Those are my brothers. Those are my friends. And those are your friends. We'll close with these thoughts this morning. God is sovereign. As we prayed this morning, He is on the throne and He rules over all. God is not finished what He's doing. He knows the end from the beginning. Hebrews tells us a second thought to remember. We have not resisted to the point of shedding of blood. You know the true story that Abraham told me in India about a woman during the radical Hindu uprising there in Orissa. She had become a believer 2 years prior, and they wanted her to reconvert to Hinduism, and she was pregnant. And so the husband says, okay, yeah, we'll go back. And she said, no. 2-year-old Christian, pregnant, and they cut her to pieces in front of her husband. I don't even know if she had a really nice Bible. I don't know if she was in a home group. I don't know if she understood church history. All I knew is what she understood, she stood in. We've not resisted to that. I'm not looking for more trouble. But if our faith is such that what happens other places can't happen here, I think we're fools. It can happen anywhere, and it has throughout history. St. Patrick went to Ireland, and they were cannibals, people he was dealing with. I don't think we would have liked to have lived in Europe in the 7th and 8th century. It was a dark, difficult place. And we are the byproduct of many centuries. I am an optimist by nature and by faith. I believe that all things are working together for good because He knows what He's doing. I wouldn't make the calls that He makes sometimes. Aren't you glad that He makes the calls? Pray for kings and all in authority. That's the third thing. We're to pray for our king, for President Obama. We're to pray for Vice President Biden. We're to pray for our Congress. We're to pray for Harry Reid. We're to pray for the Supreme Court. We're to pray for our city council and Jerry Brown and all that. It doesn't mean that I am in love with them or that I want to be like that. I need to pray that God takes the king's heart as channels of water and He moves it whichever way He wishes. I believe for me personally, this election has driven me closer to God. I'm about as patriotic. If you go up into my office, I got patriotic pictures. I got an American flag. I got stuff from my father. I got my military thing on the wall. I mean, I'm red, white, and blue. I mean, I really do. I bleed in three colors. But I have to tell you, that is not my hope. Because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Now, in light of an election or in light of, I don't like the moral decisions that government is making about marriage between a man and a woman. I don't like the lack of morality that is coming into our culture. I don't like the infringement on our First Amendment rights of freedom of religion. I don't like our foreign policy and some things that have happened. I'm very concerned about that as a citizen. But I'm going to tell you, I don't want to go around like I got a bee in my bonnet every day of my life. I want to soar with the, I want to be higher than that. I want to be better than that. I want to know that, give me food that's my portion. While I'm all worried about cap and trade or something like that, my next door neighbor is dying. And I haven't even paid attention. It's right in front of us, and that's where it goes out from there. Let's stand. And if you would turn, bring up Isaiah 55. And I'll close just with this reading. I'm getting really slow in turning these pages. I'm getting spoiled by the Isaiah 55. I still want to read out of my Bible, even though I can read it like you can. Okay, I'm just going to... Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cause. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercy shown to David. Behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander of the peoples. Behold, you will call a nation you don't know, and a nation which knows you not will run from you. Because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. To me, that means as long as I'm breathing, there's no more seeking the moment this ticker stops. Don't delay. Seek the Lord. But Kevin, I don't know how to seek the Lord. Well, how do you find a telephone number? How'd you figure out what time the movie's playing? How'd you figure out what plane to get on? How'd you figure out what vacation to do? How'd you figure out to meet your wife? How'd you figure out what you're having for dinner? We figure a lot of things out. Just do it where you are. Seek him while you may be found. Call upon the Lord while he is near, and he is near this morning. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon you. This is my favorite part. For my thoughts, this is God speaking, are not your thoughts. Nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, that's high, believe me, so are my ways higher than yours, your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Remember now, take that back to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to your own understanding. It doesn't mean our experience doesn't have value and all of that, but you're leaning on something much deeper than your own understanding. Because his thoughts are higher than my thoughts and your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter which I sent it. It's going to, everything, as truly as he lives, all the earth will be filled with his glory. God Almighty is going to accomplish everything it says in this word. Every single promise, every single statement, and you and I are caught somewhere in the middle to be salt and light. For you will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up, and instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up, and it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. Amen. It's going to be all right. That's another song. You want me to sing that one? It's going to be all right. It is all right. I don't know. I feel very tender in my faith. I don't want to spike any footballs. I just say, God, have mercy on our nation. We have sinned. We have perverted your ways. God, forgive us. We live as if you're not there. We make laws and don't go to the lawgiver. We transgress. And Lord, it's us first, your church. It's Kevin. It's not those guys. It's me. God, I pray that whatever you've done, as the country moves forward and we live in this country and you made us citizens of this country, that thy kingdom come through our lives. I pray, God, that you do exceedingly abundantly beyond what anybody in this room thinks or asks in their life, in their calling, and in their purpose. I pray, rather than feel defeated, that we would overwhelmingly conquer through Christ. Give us the faith, Lord, beyond ourselves. Help us to encourage one another. Thank you, Lord, that we're free today. Thank you for these veterans in our room here that in different ways were willing to risk their lives. That somebody like me can get up on a podium and say what I want. We thank you for this country. Work in us deeply, Lord. Work in our neighborhoods. Work in our cities. Work in our county. Lord, work in our state. Work in our region. Work in our nation. Work in this world, as only you can do. Lord, I ask your forgiveness, and I know our congregation joins with me that we're not always there. We don't always trust you with all our heart. We believe things, but then we have to live them out, and it's hard. But would you make us all people? Would you make us know that we have an all God? And would you help us to see that that trust in you is not impractical, that it's not just pie in the sky, but the trust in you is the best thing we could ever do. You shall direct our paths. We thank you this morning and bless you. Amen.